Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be a champion and look at a few different things on being a champion. Sometimes we look at championship a little different than God does. Sometimes we look at championship the same way God does. But just that whole thing of when there's a champion, sometimes there's a loser. When there's a loser, sometimes there's a champion. And I've been going through some of the people in the Old Testament, and we're going to look in a little bit of David and Goliath, a very common, famous story, that kind of thing. But first of all, I was doing a little bit of just giants, you know, giants. Sometimes it's hard to believe, you know, giants, this kind of stuff. And this guy, Robert Waldlow, had a lot of challenges in his life, and one of them was he was a giant. He just grew like crazy, and in 1918, he was known as the Alto Giant, and he was the giant who has the most irrefutable evidence that he was pretty much 9 feet. He was 8 feet, 11 inches, and 0.1, whatever that works out to in inches. And I've got a little just two-minute video of his life. And some of the stuff he says, they say he said in this, it's just amazing how he became a champion, even with the challenges that he had in life and how he kind of stuck out. But he took that and he used it to touch people's lives, being a shoe salesman. Go ahead. There's audio to this as well.
They called him the Alton Giant. He was born on February 22, 1918, 100 years ago. At nearly 9 feet tall, Robert Waldlow went into the record books as the world's tallest man. But he died at the age of 22, so for most of his life, he was a growing boy. Wherever he went, this was a youth YMCA trip to the World's Fair in Chicago in 1933, he couldn't help but attract crowds. And that became his job with St. Louis's International Shoe Company, traveling from town to town, shoe store to shoe store.
But he did consider it a job. He considered it a full-time job. His title was Field Representative for International Shoe.
Tim Leone produced a documentary about Robert Waldlow's life in 1991 and had interviewed those who had known him.
Here in Alton is the place where Robert was best known and really was the place that the only place he could just be Robert Waldlow and not the world's tallest man.
True. To the people of Alton's credit, Robert was viewed and thought of as just one of the guys. He had always been bigger than everybody. He'd been bigger than the teachers in grade school. He was bigger than all the students. He was bigger than every adult. He was bigger than every car. He was the biggest thing, and he always had been that way. So the people here, his classmates, the teachers, the people in the church and the various civic groups that he belonged to, didn't really react adversely to him. Robert had always been that way, so they didn't really think of it as anything out of the ordinary.
The thing about him is that for someone who was the world's largest man, a man who stood out no matter where he went, he seems remarkably to have been well-adjusted.
Very true. Robert was very comfortable with who he was. You have to remember, he was always in the public eye ever since he was a very young person, starting from about age 9. And so he developed a certain sense of sophistication far beyond the experience of any of his peers. And so he was pretty comfortable with who he was. Like he said one time, he said people should utilize their handicaps instead of fussing about them. He said, look at me, I'm getting along all right.
For Living St. Louis,
kind of an interesting little clip about a guy who was a giant. And the Bible tells us that Goliath was about 9 feet, just over 9 feet tall. So he would have been about that height compared to other people. But he's kind of a friendly giant. And a lot of us I know here tonight, and myself included, have a lot of giants in our lives that seem to be just unsurmountable, right? And I'm going to talk a little bit about being a champion tonight. We're going to have a very definite challenge at the end to respond to who God has called you to be and say, we're going to sing the song, You Make Me Brave. And I believe it's God in you who is the hope of glory. And it's God in you that brings out the championship inside of you. And people might not see it from looking on the outside, But from the inside, there's something that comes, this just championship material that comes from all three of those scenarios. The scenario where you look like you're going to lose, but you pull it off in the last few seconds. The scenario where you've got to stop something and you stop it. The scenario where you were counted out, you were absolutely nobody, but all of a sudden you just arise to the peak and God uses you for his glory. And the underdog, everybody knows pretty much that story, right? I mean, you can count movies on both hands about the underdog, the stupid little Mighty Ducks, the team that was playing hockey and they were no good, and they came back and they won the season facing the Giants I mentioned before. They're out there playing football and they can't get anything together, but they end up winning the whole thing for the glory of God. Woodland, I just watched not that long ago, was a real story that I ended up going and researching the history of that story and everything. It's just amazing how God used that to start a movement that touched people's lives, and it just changed the world, changed even who we are today. So let's take a moment, let's pray. God, I just thank you for this place tonight. God, I thank you for these people who are your people, and God, I want to honor their time. God, I want to honor their being here on a miserable night, Lord Jesus, and Father, we just want to pray that your presence, Lord Jesus, Father, would be the one thing that we remember from this night. God, that devoted ministries gets supported and gets funded and that kind of thing. And God, that we worship you. But God, that we remember tonight that God, that was the night where you showed up in my heart and in my life. So we give you the honor and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The Philistines were the big guys. They were the tromping through. They had iron. They were fighting machines. Pretty much all of history records them as being the bad guy, as being the ones that came in and just ran everybody over. Now, part of that is because they don't have much written from the Philistines of their own history. It was always Israel writing or Egypt writing or someone else writing history about them. But they were the most associated with Israel. Until the Assyrians came, they fought against Israel. Israel was always getting put down by them, was always getting pushed around by them. They dominated over the nations, and they were a warlike people. And they captured the Ark of the Covenant. They worshipped Baal. I've got a couple of them up there. They worshipped Baal, Astar, and Dagon, which believed in the fertility gods. They believed in child sacrifice, sexual immorality, the underworld. Baal was associated with the bull. Samson met his death at the hands of, in the temple of Dagon. And a replica, I found it interesting, I looked at this a long time ago, not when I was getting ready for this, but up in the top corner, the top right-hand corner there, is the archway to the temple of Baal that they actually replicated and moved around the world in different places in the last 10, 15 years. It was in New York Times Squares, it was in London, it was in Dubai, and they brought it around as a museum piece or whatever, that kind of stuff, for people to see a piece of history. But how in our day and age and in our culture too, I find it interesting how almost have a resurgence of the mixing of gods and man. I mean, I enjoy watching a lot of the movies, but it's interesting, a lot of the movies in the Marvel movies and that kind of stuff, and in the X-Men and in different things like that or whatever that have the gods together with man. And it started way back in Adam and Eve, even Greek mythology and all that kind of stuff, is people are just thriving on that in our pop culture or whatever, right? And the Philistines, they worshipped all that kind of stuff, and they worshipped all that kind of thing, and they fought against Israel, and they were kind of the big deal, the big boy on the school ground. Goliath was, the Bible says, he was 9.5 feet tall. So take Robert at the beginning and put him up about another half a foot, so another 6 inches. So he is pretty big guy, right? Pretty big guy to look up to, and I think my imagination, I don't know for sure, but he looks a little bit more, Robert looked like a really nice guy, didn't he? He looked like you'd go up to him and you'd want to shake his hand and get his autograph or whatever. And Goliath was their champion. And I think he was a little less the guy that you wanted to go up to and say, hey, can I get a picture of you with my children? You know, just like Santa Claus, can they sit on your lap and kind of be there and that kind of thing? When Israel approached, David was a shepherd boy. And Israel had been taunted by Goliath for 40 days. You can flip to the next. David's brothers, he came to bring provision. So I kind of see David as the original skip the dishes delivery boy, okay? His brothers were out fighting in the meal, and they're making the food, and they're all this kind of stuff, and they're working away, and they got to do the dishes, whatever. And they're like, so his dad finally says, you know, David, and it says right in there, David, can you take the cheese to your brothers? And so David's kind of the skip the deliveries guy that kind of shows them, ding dong, here's your cheese. here's your cheese, right? These guys are all in their armor, battle, ready to fight, and he's kind of coming out with his little knapsack and his little, here's my delivery, and here's my skip the dishes for the day, and that kind of thing, or whatever, right? Kind of shows up on that side, and he's a shepherd, and he's, the Bible kind of really looks at shepherds and hunters in two different ways. It kind of uses them as symbols, and a hunter is someone who goes out and captures his prey and gets at the expense of that which he hunts. He goes after, he pray his prey, right? Whereas a shepherd is somebody that nurtures, is somebody that cares for it, somebody that brings them together and brings them on and gets them just kind of doing well and taking care of them and watching out and that kind of stuff. So the Bible kind of puts the difference back and forth, this warrior side and yet this shepherd side. And yet when we look at God in a few minutes, we see both sides put together in who he's called us to be and who he called each and every one of us to be. Why would Israel choose David to go as a champion? It's kind of odd. You got all these warriors on the fighting battle and King Saul, and none of them, they're all scared. 40 days, Goliath comes out for the Philistines as their champion. And he's like, when's one man out to fight me or whatever, right? And if I win, you will serve us. If you win, we will serve you. Now that's kind of a crazy, can you imagine picking your, I already picked on Jim. I'll pick on Butch. What if you guys over here said, Butch, that side of the church is going to take over. They're going to kill us all. We're going to be their slaves. But Butch, we want you to be the champion. We want you to stand up. And he's going to be, if you win, they're on our side. And you guys pick a champion, and Monica is your champion. And you're like, yeah, Monica, man, she's really good. She's sneaky. She'll go up and kick Butch in the kneecaps, and then she's going to take him down. And you guys over here pick Peggy. Peggy, let's pick you. Peggy is a champion. You're like, I've seen her walk around with those two canes. They're not just canes. They're weapons. That kind of stuff, right? And so in that day, rather than having an entire army die and all these fathers and all these leaders and all this kind of stuff die, when it came to an army, sometimes they would say, you know what? Let's send out two champions. They're going to fight like WWF. They're going to be the big ring, the big brawl, right? And that's pretty big deal to choose a champion, right? You don't want to lose. So when you're picking a champion, what are you looking at? Sometimes you're looking for strength. Sometimes you're looking for power. Sometimes you're looking for charisma. Sometimes you're looking for this kind of stuff, right? You don't necessarily want to pick something. So what, I don't know, I don't have the answer for, but what possessed Saul to say, yes, David, you can be our champion? He hasn't been on the battlefield. He's been taking care of sheep. And yet he comes out there and he goes, Goliath is defying the God of Israel. He needs to be dealt with. I'm going out to battle. And Saul says, here, I'm going to give you all my armor. And he puts it on and he's like, oh, it's just too heavy, right, or whatever. I can't do it. I can't go that direction. So how do you choose a champion? What do you look for? And how do you put it together? If we were doing that tonight and I was saying, okay, we're going to do an arm wrestle. And I said, okay, I want you guys to pick one person. If we had the time, I would actually do it. You guys pick one person, and you guys pick one person. The winner of the arm wrestle takes all the pies. It's an all or nothing. Would you be like, let's pick Connor for our wrestling arm wrestle, right? Yeah. What would you look for? Would you be like, I don't know, whoever you would pick. But it's kind of interesting to stop and think about, how do you choose a champion? What do you look for? What was Israel looking at when they saw David? What was the Philistines looking at when they saw Goliath and they put him out as their champion? Sometimes we look for strength, we look for smarts, we look for love, we look for compassion, we look for charisma, we look for sacrifice, we look for money, we look for a warrior, we look for someone who's nurturing. And when I look at God, I see both sides. And it's what would Pastor Len would say, a divine dance, that's what he would say. A divine dance of a wrestling of one way or the other. And well, God is this. Well, no, God is this. Well, God is this. God is nurturing. No, God is a warrior. God is, and these two verses, there's lots of them I could pull out, but it says this in Isaiah 42. It says, the Lord will march out like a champion. Everybody say, yeah! 3, 2, 1, go. Yeah! Right? That's a good verse. The Lord will march out like a champion and like a warrior. Yeah! He will stir up his zeal. Yeah! With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and with triumph over his enemies. Yeah! Oh, yeah, I like that, right? Woo! It's got to be God if I'm dancing up here. Where's Raquel? I need to pull out my hanky. But then you pull out Isaiah 53, only a couple chapters later. He grew up before him like a tender shoot. Yeah. And like a root out of dry ground. Should we pick a root? Oh, yeah, the root. The gardeners are like, yes, that's the guy. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should even desire him. No, not that one. Not that one. Over here, this one. Yeah, let's go back to the champion. Let's go back to the Lord will march out like a champion. Yeah, whatever, right? How do we choose our champion? How do we choose and say, God, I choose you? Or how do we do, a lot of times we look at our boss in our business, or we look at our wife is going to be our champion, or our, Marina said tonight I had to talk about her as a champion all night. She said, well, you're speaking on champions, champions, so you got to bring me into it all the time. So she's a champion house cleaner and a champion leader leading master's moms and a champion caregiver as a nurse and all that kind of stuff. And we look at all that stuff and we see the championship in each and every one of us. But there's that divine dance. The Bible talks of God, talks of Jesus as the lion, the tribe of Judah, right? The roar. Roar! Yeah, come on! Aslan, if you've ever watched Narnia, there we go. He comes out and he just, this big roar and everything just kind of shrivels back and like, yeah, man, that's great. But he also talks about him as the lamb. It says in Revelations, you know, everyone was distraught because no one could open the scroll. And there was no fanfare. It was just all they saw was this lamb come out, slain before the beginning of time. A little. And you're like, no. And yet God's both the lion and the lamb. He's the conqueror, the sword. Some of the pictures you see, some revelations, right? Him riding on the horse and faithful written on his head. He's ready to just fight it down, this kind of stuff, right? But the Bible also talks of him as the sacrifice. We like to be the conqueror. Christ, in you, the hope of glory. You are built to be more than a conqueror, to be lifted up and to be like, yes, you're the head, not the tail. We don't necessarily like to jump on board for the sacrifice. It's going to take a little bit of work. It's going to take a little bit of energy. It's going to take a little bit of time. And he also says he's the king. And on the other side, it says he's the servant. And when we're choosing a champion, I like to have both sides covered. Right? And be on God's side and say, God, you know what? When I need that lion to show up, when I need that lamb to show up, and God to be able to work in my heart and in my life and say, God, when you need the lion to show up in me, I pray that the Spirit of God will arise. God, when you need the lamb to show up inside of me, I pray that the Spirit of God will arise and I'll be able to reach out and touch people's life with care and compassion. Three things as we kind of close. What lessons can you learn from Goliath? It's kind of been my thing over the last few Sunday nights that I've spoken is kind of looking at the villain and saying, what can we learn from the villain? And I think Goliath obviously lost it all at the end. But first thing is big competitors often hide even bigger disadvantages. So you might be fighting something in your life and it might seem huge. It might be a financial crisis. It might be a health crisis. It might be a relationship crisis. It might be a church crisis. It might be a basement flooding crisis is probably a common thing to be going through these days. But big competitors often have big disadvantages. And to look at these situations and say, you know what, God, you can change this situation. And think of the bully, right? We've often used an illustration or talked to, why is the bully the way the bully is? There's probably something somewhere in his life that got sewed into who he is or who she is. And that started to get reinforced over time. And they became that person who's like, I'm angry at the world or whatever, right? And to be able to find that place, that speck or that place that's just small enough that you can kind of get in there and speak a word of life into their heart. Speak a word of love. Speak a word of, you know what? I saw you do that the other day. You picked up that pencil for that person as they walked by. And that was amazing. You know, thanks for doing that. And the rest of the day, they're just miserable, right? But to be that person who can find that disadvantage, that space where you can encourage someone and say, hey, you know what? You did a good job there. And take that and build on it and water it and help it to grow. Matthew and Luke both tell us about the speck in our eye. are trying to take the speck out of someone else's eye while we still have the plank in our eye, right? We're trying to help somebody else out, but we've got this huge, huge blockage that we can't see, and we're fighting. And the Bible also tells us that they're blinded by the god of this world, and that sometimes it's just the enemy that's blinding them. And if we can remember that as Christians and say, God, I speak in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I speak life where there's death. God, I speak hope where there's lost. God, I speak greatness where there's nothing, right? And just saying, God, I want to be used by you. God, I want to walk forward in who you've called me to be. Second one is to keep your perspective. Goliath is large and covered in armor and terrifying to look at, right? But Goliath could have easily killed David if he could have gotten reach. I don't know you very well, but if I can pretend you're David. If you're David and I'm Goliath, and if I can get close enough to get you, you're probably pretty fast. If we had lots of time here and this was a youth service instead of an adult service, all these adults here, it's good that you're here. We're glad that you're here tonight. And I would say, okay, I'm going to get you, okay? We're not going to do it, so don't start running. But I would count to three. I'd say 3, 2, 1, go. And you would take off, right? You'd probably run. You might kick me in my kneecap first and hope for the best. But you'd probably stay out of my arms, right? You'd probably stay away from as much as you can. Because you're probably like, if that guy sits on me, I'm dunners. I'm in trouble, right? And you'd run, right? You'd get away. But to keep things in perspective, and if you get too close, the closer you get to that Goliath, to that thing, if you keep saying, you know what, my job is terrible, my job is terrible, my job is terrible, my job is terrible. I've got these financial problems. I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Instead of saying, my God is so big, my God is so strong, my God is so powerful, my God can do this, my God has created me to step up and to face that giant and to go after it and to follow after it. How close are you to things that might take you out? That, as I was getting ready, kind of struck with me. You know what? There's both sides of it here again, right? I mean, you want to be close to people's lives that you can touch, that you can change, but you also don't want to be close where you're getting pulled in. And David didn't go right up to Goliath, right? He didn't go right up to him and got really close. He kind of kept his perspective, and he's like, well, from like 3 blocks away, Goliath doesn't look so bad, right? Stayed out of arm's reach, that kind of stuff. God is perfectly capable of delivering you from the lion's den. He's perfectly capable, we know from history, taking you out of the fiery furnace and taking you through the fiery furnace. But I would say, don't throw yourself in the lion's den. Don't throw yourself in the fiery furnace. Don't put yourself there. If that's where your life goes, if that's where life takes you, if that's where you end up, God is perfectly capable of being with you there. But don't go out onto Richmond and throw yourself in front of a car. Be like, God's with me. Woo! Bang! That kind of stuff, right? But if it happens and it's not your time to go, God is perfectly capable. I'm sure when we get to heaven, every single one of us is going to see car stories where we see that the hand of an angel just kind of moved this way or that way because God still had his hand on our life and had a purpose and had a direction for our life to go. And he was there with us. And keeping our perspective. And the last one, we think, and Pastor Mike spoke about this a little bit the other day. We think the slingshot, not exactly about this, but I'll tie it in. We think a slingshot is a child's toy. I know when I think of that story, I think, oh, that's cute, you know, a kid with a slingshot, you know, and I made slingshots when I was growing up and that kind of stuff. Sometimes we think David was this really, there's both sides, right? I kind of lean a little bit towards one side, but there's both sides. The one side that believes David was totally incapable. He had no ability at all, which I can't see them choosing him as a champion if he had absolutely no ability and he was just the skip the dishes guy and that's all he was or whatever, right? And he was like guaranteed to lose and it was all God. It was just God. David just kind of sat there and he didn't even really have to, whoop, and God took the stone, kind of like the remote golf ball, you know, when you kick it and it gets on the green and then someone's got a remote control and they move the ball around so that it goes in the hole, right? And then there's the other side that believes David actually was pretty good with a slingshot. And all those days when he was taking care of the sheep and he fought the lion and fought the bear and he probably had a few hornet's nests about 100 feet away that he'd be like, oh, missed. Got it. And I did a little bit of researching on slingshots and stuff like that. And it's pretty amazing and interesting to watch if you go and look at these people that are into medieval weapons and all that kind of stuff. And they were taking slingshots and they were putting ammunition or projectiles through plywood. And they were going, and most of the information out there said that it has about the same kick as a 45 pistol. So if David had had a 45 pistol in his armoire, he could have pulled that out and it would have been just as strong as a slingshot. But this kind of got me. Guys that are really good at it can throw that projectile at over 200 kilometers per hour. So imagine driving down the Trans-Canada Highway at double the speed limit when it was 200 kilometers an hour, and jumping out into a brick wall. Anyone take me up on it? Not really, right? And I think David knew exactly where he was aiming. I think David knew how to give the glory to God. I think David knew how to say, this guy's defiling the God of Israel. Somebody after 40 days has got to stand up and say, God, you are God. And if I die, I die. But God, I'm going to be a champion. I'm going to walk forward. I'm going to go straight into that. I'm not going to get too close. I'm not going to get caught up in it. I'm not going to get wrapped up in it. And God, I know where I'm shooting. Right for the mind. Right for the one place where he wasn't protected by armor all over his body. And we quite often think a slingshot is a child's toy. Most generally, great leaders understand that the real key to the battle are sometimes obscured by our misconceptions. And this is where I thought of this while Pastor Mike was speaking last Sunday. Prayer, community, solitude, devotion, purity, they all seem pretty small. They all seem like a child's toy, right? And it's challenging when he said this morning, you know, if you pray for 5 minutes a day, you think you really believe in prayer? There's all sorts of reasons not to sign up for a small group, but if you believe in the power of community, the power of relationship, and you don't sign up for a small group, if you believe in ministry and outreach, and you don't support a group that takes teenagers all across Manitoba, Northwestern Ontario, it seems like little things, right? Taking that solitude, taking that moment. We think it's just a, whatever, yeah. But it's not. It's the power to pull down strongholds. It's the power of God working through in each and every one of us. 2 Corinthians 10 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So as we close tonight, I want you to think about these three things. And in a few minutes, I'm going to get them to play. And we're going to sing that song, You Make Me Brave. And in the middle of it, it kind of goes to the bridge where it says, you make me brave, you make me brave. When we get to that part, I'm going to come back up. And I believe in a moment. I believe in a lifetime, but I believe in a moment. I believe in a second. I believe in a millennium. I believe in all of that kind of thing. And quite often, those of you that have heard me speak before, I'll just say, you know what? I want you to move. And that might be moving to the chair beside you. Tonight, I'm going to challenge you to say, you know what? Be brave. Step out. And we're going to have a short, brief time where you have an opportunity to say, God, make me brave on the inside. People might look at me and they might not see a champion. But God, when you look at me, there's something inside of me that's a champion. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, more than a conqueror. More than everything that could come against you. God is on your side. God is for you. God is not against you. Where are the giants in your life? Where's the loud voices? Where's the calling you down? Where's the struggle? Where's the battle? And who is your champion? Where is the trust? Where is your faith? Where is your hope? Is it just in me? Is it just in you? Is it just in your boss? The business is going good, so life is good. The business is going bad, so life is bad. Is it in the stock markets? Is it in the power? Is it in the good-looking husband or the good-looking wife? Or is it in this or is it in that? Or is it in family? Or is it in, or is the solid foundation your champion, the lion and the lamb? The conqueror and the sacrifice, the king and the servant. And you're saying, God, be my champion tonight. How will you fight? It's by the Spirit or is it by your own strength? The battle is the Lord's. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. Don't get pulled in. And go to that last slide, David. Flip one more. Jump ahead. Where are the giants in life? Who's your champion? Who will you fight? One more. Zechariah says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Samuel, 1 Samuel 17 is the whole story of David and Goliath. And it says, the battle belongs to the Lord. So I'm going to invite you to stand. And they're going to sing that the first verse in the chorus. And then I'm going to come back up here and just challenge us as we close off tonight to just spend a couple minutes saying, God, my prayer is that you make me brave. God has called you to be a champion. And the next part of this song says, God, you have made me brave. It's not me standing up here and saying, you know what? God, I can do it all. God, I can do it by myself. I'm a self-made man. I can do this. I can do that. There is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You might be able to do all things on a day where it's going well. It's pretty hard to do all things well, do all things when the bottom falls out. But God says he wants to be there on both sides. So in a few seconds, I'm just going to count to three. And if you're saying, God, tonight, I want you to make me brave. God, I want to step out and go forward. And God, move with you and go with you. And God, the things that you've called me to do in my life, God, even if people look at me and say, you're not a champion, you're a failure, your life isn't going anywhere. If you're saying tonight, you know what, God, I don't believe that. God, I believe that you have placed it in my heart and in my life. And God, that you are a champion of heaven. And God, you are on my side. And God, you are in my perspective. God, you are part of, and God, the weapons of my warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then we're going to have a brief moment here at the front tonight, and then I'm going to have a very clear dismissal where we're going to go, because I believe we want to support the pie auction as well. And we're going to spend a bit of time here, or it's just going to be a short time. So decide in your heart right now, just take a moment and bow your heads and close your eyes. And in a few seconds, I'm going to count to three. It's just the way God's always led me to do it. I think there's a moment of decision. But decide in your heart right now. When he gets to three, I'm going to go. And you might be the only person that goes. Everybody might come. But you need to know in your heart, this is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to go. God, you've called me out beyond the waves into the greater, into greatness tonight. So one, two, three. Just move out of your chairs and come on up to the front and say, God, you make me brave. And in a few seconds, we're just going to start singing that. You make me brave. And as they're singing, feel free to just keep coming and just keep coming and saying, God, you make me brave. You can do that in your chair as well, but there's something about moving and standing beside somebody else who says, you know what, God, I'm reaching out to you tonight as well. So they're just going to sing that bridge for you, and then we're going to finish off and close off tonight. But you make me brave. As I was driving in, this is the way I believe God really wanted to close. How do you pick your champion? How does God pick his champions? You're standing at the front, and some of you are standing in your chairs, and some of you are out getting ready for the pie auction and all that kind of stuff. And God looks down, and he sees the heart. Many of you know, and he came to my mind, Glenn Jeffrey. Do you pick your champion from a guy that's cleaned toilets in the church? God sees the prophetic in his heart. God sees the people that have been healed. Do you pick your champion of teenagers? Ones who are younger? God does. God picked David. He put his hand in his life. And he said, you're anointed to be a king and to serve. And God looks at each and every one of us and looks in our hearts. And Jamie, you know, some of your life and some of your story, and you know, it kind of goes this way and that way and that way. And do we pick a champion and saying, Jamie's going to be this or whatever? But God does. He says, I saw Jamie come forward on Sunday night and say she wants me to make her brave to face the things that you face on Monday and Monday morning. And Lorna, who served for years, Gail, Pastor Mike, fighting a few health things and that kind of stuff. I mean, let's pick the person who's lifting 586 pounds. But there's something in him. Desires to see the lost saved. that desires to see somebody who's never been in church experience church. Whether that's in a small group or whether that's in a facility like this. But to be able to come in and be able to be welcomed and be able to say, you know what? God's moving in my life. Todd serves behind the scenes. There's going to come a day, I think, when that, I'll close with this. There's going to come a day, I really believe, in heaven where every single pastor, every single evangelist, every single leader, every single person who's kind of been on the stage and had people say, yeah, good job, or whatever, is going to be sitting in the back of the room. And none of them are going to like it, but in that day, God's going to make them brave. And they're all going to be center stage. The ones that have been behind the scenes, serving up in sound and computer and kids' church and all that kind of stuff, and everyone's going to. So God, tonight we just thank you for your presence in this place, for your anointing. God, we thank you for the championship game. And God, we're not quite there yet, Lord Jesus, Father, but we want to walk through those gates, not just as ourselves. God, we want to walk up to you and say thank you for all the things you've done in our lives. But God, when we turn around to walk away from face to face with Jesus, God, we don't want to walk away empty-handed. God, I want to turn around and see a line of people that are ready to say thanks to me. Not in a selfish way, but God, people that are there because we spoke into their lives. And God, I pray that for each and every one of us as we're championships for Christ and that divine dance, Lord Jesus, Father, of being the head and not the tail and being the servant and being the lion and being the lamb. And God, it's your spirit in each and every one of us that gives us the unction at that moment of time to say what we need to see and say it, to be bold or to be humble or to be compassionate or, God, just to kind of say, you know what, they need a firm word right now. But God, we want it to be you. So God, as we hang out and as we enjoy the pie auction and celebrate together and support devoted ministries, God, may we go with your blessing and with your power and with your strength. And God, we've made that prayer, God, you make me brave. So God, tonight, make us brave as we move forward with you. We give you the honor and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.